This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming up to 7:13 on the evening edition. You are with Kelvin and Israel. And for our next story, we're looking at how blind masseurs did during the MCO and how they're doing now. Ever since spa, wellness and reflexology services, including those provided by blind masseurs, have been allowed to operate since the 1st of July. Bernama reported that some 3,000 blind masseurs had lost their job, lost their incomes during the MCO.
Yeah, so the decision has been welcomed by MAB, or the Malaysian Association of the Blind. George Thomas, its chief executive officer, said that during the MCO, CMCO, and the earlier stages of the RMCO, those who were visually impaired couldn't go anywhere or even engage in other jobs. And the challenges still remain, even if they're able to move around and get back to work. So MAB is expecting the sector to experience slow business because of the strict SOPs and the general awareness about seeking massage services at this time.
Yeah, and, For a time, I guess it was really just a struggle. You couldn't leave the house. And what in some instances was that for communities where they perhaps needed aid from the outside, workers, NGOs and other communities that they rely on really just couldn't reach out to them. And I think that was particularly a challenge in this instance.
Yeah, and this goes back, I think, to earlier conversations we've had about accessibility during times of crisis. And, it'll be curious to see moving forward as everyone talks about, ensuring that Malaysians diversify their jobs and expand their skill sets, to see how that can apply to blind working Malaysians too, with visual impairments, and to see what kind of other skills perhaps could be developed and other career paths, because the reality is many of us who don't have these challenges can, do side jobs and things, right, to make up for some of the lost income. But it really is difficult in this case. So I hope that moving forward, there's at least a solution the government attempts to look at.
For sure. And we are now going to find out how the industry, as well as workers, are doing. To do that, we're crossing over to Rajivan Gopalakrishnan, Managing Director of Touch for Health, Reflexology and Massage. Thanks so much for joining us today, Rajivan.
Hi, good evening.
How has business been like over the past week for you?
Ever since we started in July 1st, we see a significant drop in terms of sales, I'd say like 60 to 70%. Some of the customers are reluctant to come back. We see some very few number of people who actually find it. So it's about 60 to 70% drop ever since we started.
And what was it like for you coping with the MCO up till the end of June when you couldn't operate your business? How does that look like?
It was very difficult. Many of us were very stressful. We weren't sure of what's going to happen, especially we're not sure when is it like the government will allow us to reopen. Because reflexology was initially categorized under the entertainment industry together with the nightclubs, bars, and so on. So we were very worried during the MCO, and most of us have no income entirely. As many of us are, the bachelors are actually earning out of commission. They do not have a salary. They need to feed their families and so on. And at the same time, they have lots of overheads to look after. So it was very, very stressful throughout the MCO.
What are some accounts you've heard from your colleagues at other centres in terms of how they coped in that period?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of grievance from the other operators as well as masseurs around Malaysia. Similar cases, they have lots of debts. They have their ongoing rental. They need to feed their family, their school fees, and so on. At the same time, we were not sure whether it's going to be 3 months or 6 months or up to end of this year. Initially the numbers of COVID-19 was a little higher, so we could not predict what's exactly going to happen. So it's very, they also have lots of sad stories to tell.
And currently, what are the SOPs that you have to follow?
The ministry have actually given us the SOPs, like wearing a face shield, wearing a face mask, wearing an apron and gloves at all sessions. And the normal ones, like taking temperatures, registering your client, and operating at only 50% capacity, and checking in only clients with appointments. We do not we are not encouraged to take in walk-ins. Yeah, so those are the main which are practicing by us now.
And I assume there are extra costs involved in implementing some of these procedures. Could you give us an insight into what are some of those extra bills you have to pay?
Yeah, the extra bills are the of PPEs that we need to purchase, like the facial face mask. For each customer, we have to change it completely. We're not allowed to use it throughout the day. All those costs are actually being completely borne by us at this moment. Yeah, as well as the apron, gloves also included, yeah.
And on that note, how concerned are you about the risk of infection in your line of work?
It's a matter of life or livelihood. After almost 4 months of almost no income, many of us are actually badly affected. Our livelihood are badly affected. So we are willing to take a risk. Looking at the numbers, quite minimum at this moment, so I think we need to take a risk to have a food on our table. Livelihood matters a lot.
Right, and how about your customers? What are their sentiments like?
The mixed sentiments. I think the older groups are very concerned. They are not back yet. We can see some of them who are back, but definitely they're very concerned about those SOPs and you know, as you know, massage is all about touch. But at this moment, we are not allowed to have any skin-to-skin contact with our customers. We only have to massage with gloves. So that is a big impact for us. Many of them are not interested. So, that's the customer sentiment.
And looking ahead, when do you expect business to, I guess, return to normal?
At this stage, we can say that by end of this year, it should get better. But anyway, if we have a second wave or if there's a strike in numbers, I believe people are going to be more worried. Business is going to be back to back. I mean, it's going to be even worse than how is it now. So it's very difficult to predict when is it like it's going to return to back to normal.
How do you think the government can assist your industry at this time? And I guess extending that conversation to also include how the government can assist the community at this time.
Yeah. The government initially had planned to help those disabled masseurs or disabled workers by giving them 1,000 ringgit cash every month for the next 6 months. Unfortunately, the program is only for those who are registered under EPF and SOKSO. So, you know, many blind masseurs, they are actually self-employed. They do not contribute to EPF or either SOKSO. So they're not entitled for this benefit. So I would think the government should actually look into their welfare. As in, the business are quite bad now and there has been no income over the past 3 to 4 months. And at the same time, as you know, the government have introduced a scheme under the PAKI to help the e-hailing drivers and food delivery riders, whereby they don't have to contribute to EPF. They can only contribute to SOKSO, and they're entitled for all the benefits under SOKSO as similar to any other social worker. But this scheme is not there for any other workers, especially the blind masseurs. That's because we will operate just the same as any e-hailing drivers. We go on commission basis. So I suggest the government should actually introduce a similar scheme for blind masseurs, whereby they can contribute to SOKSO and their welfare is being taken care if they lost their job, they would still get something from the government than nothing. And this is one. And the secondly is that the government has actually given special allowance for similarly like e-hailing drivers during the MCO, like 500 ringgit. For the OKUs, they're not entitled for any other benefit. So I seriously suggest the government should look into this matter.
Right. And in addition to that, earlier in our conversation, I mentioned that, you know, as the government looks at trying to diversify and upskill Malaysians' professional skill sets, I wonder if there could be anything done on that front for the visually impaired and the OKU community in general. What would be your thoughts on this?
The government have actually started recognizing blind messengers. We have actually trained them under the SKMM. Many of them have actually got this certificate under the SKMM. And slowly, I think there's about 3,000 messengers. I think the Malaysian Association for the Blind is trying to get most of them registered and trained under this program as well.
Hmm.
On that note, Rajivan, thank you again so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
Best of luck.
That was Rajivan Gopalakrishnan, Managing Director of Touch for Health, Reflexology and Massage, speaking to us about the current situations surrounding blind masseurs, how they fared during the MCO and how they're doing now. It seems, unfortunately, like it's still very much a trying time ahead.
Yeah, and it seems like short, you know, there are some gaps in aid. Like Rajivan said, you know, a lot of them who are qualified for the 1,000 ringgit monthly cash aid, you know, which is a lot, by the way, they have to be registered with EPF and SOC. So I think, you know, certainly one of the things that really need to be re-examined in the short term, long term, or, you know, like I think on an earlier conversation we had, to just give everyone an EPF, right? I think that would, from birth, give everyone an EPF account, and that would partially actually, right, solve a lot of these problems.
Yeah, because if you're not with the system, and sometimes it's, especially if you're an informal worker, it's very hard to find and track and see the kind of aid you need, right? And if you aren't, you know, for a long time involved in these systems, you just miss out, even though there might be engagement on the ground. But even then, it might not be enough, right? And that's where NGOs kind of fill the gap. But right now, NGOs are also facing the brunt of just not having enough financial resources to run services that in ways that they would normally would.
I'd imagine they're quite stretched at this time.
Yeah. Keep sending your thoughts through about this story. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Very briefly, before we head to the news and also popcorn culture, just wrapping up that poll that we had on whether or not the government has done enough to help entrepreneurs. Out of 127 votes, 48% are saying no. However, with 40% saying could be better and 11%, close to 12% saying yes, they are doing enough. Again, keep your thoughts coming. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.